Well, it's so good that you've joined us today. I really believe and pray that this message will inspire you, lift you, and fill you full of faith. I hope you enjoy.
The Lord gave me this message. I've never preached this message before this morning, not to anyone, anywhere, any crowd. And I was praying and I was saying, you know, prophetically, it's like when I come to a season, there needs to be a shift. God's taking a movement to a whole new level. And God will bring me in at that particular moment because that's one thing prophets do, prophetic people. We take people to a new level. And so he spoke to me to minister to you this morning on the way of a pioneer. The way of a pioneer. Thank you, Lord. And, you know, do you mind just keep playing? Is that like, we could have fun, you know, you and I preach? Yeah, okay, all right. Holy Spirit, come back. Okay, Isaiah 40, 3-5. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And I wrote this down. God has given the anointing to planet shakers to be a voice for change, to prepare the way of the Lord. And the Lord shows me that while you've always had a weightiness to the movement, the Lord is going to a new place. I remember the last time I see her, God gave me a word that you're missionaries, that you would go, you know, out as missionaries. And I really don't have the right word for this, musenationaries. But what the Lord showed me is God is giving you the anointing to heal nations. Revelation 22, 1 and 2, you know, talks about the tree of life, you know, which bears fruit every month for the healing of the nation and the nations. And, you know, I always say, well, some people say, well, you know, when we're in heaven, there's going to be this tree of life. However, there is a time stamp on that scripture. It says every month it will bear fruit. Now that, and when we get in heaven, time will be no more. So what is that saying? It's saying that in this season, in this time, in this now, that God is and will, if you want it, anoint you for nations, for this nation. And you think, well, that's so big. You know, it might be saying, I can't even take care of my own life. You know how I'm going to take care of a nation? You see, that's up to God if you're willing. Many times we try to figure out the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of how God's going to do something. You notice that God is a behind the scenes God. You know, it's like, you know, just, you know, he'll just say, my translation of the Bible, chill, and it'll all work out. You know, well, we hate that because we want to know. But God is developing trust in us right now. He's calling us to be forerunners. Another word for forerunners is pioneer. There is a pioneering anointing on this movement. I looked up other words for pioneer: trailblazer, developer, spearhead, instigator. Well, that's a truth. Initiator, establisher, and discoverer. This could also be called the way of a pioneer. Just by coming here and being in this atmosphere week after week, you may not understand what happens to you, but you get infected with God on a level that gives you a voice to cry out into the wilderness of sin, into the wilderness of a nation that needs to be made straight and the way of the Lord prepared. And so God is doing something in you, and you may not even realize what it is. but he's calling you to be healer of nations. When I was a young woman preaching, I never heard anybody use that terminology, to heal the nations. Ezekiel 47:12, I believe it is, says the leaves on the tree of life for the healing of nations. God has medicine for nations. The cross was a medicine to heal nations. And God is calling us as pioneers. And I wrote this down. The way of the pioneer is disruptive in nature. That's the truth. It disrupts traditions, mindsets, the comfort of the status quo, religious and political systems. You are called to be a godly disruptor to the kingdom of darkness. I have a friend named Ed Savoso, and we've taught many times in nations on how to transform a nation. And he was teasing me one day. He said, Cindy, you know, other people, when they come into nations, they make these little neat furrows and they teach and some nice things happen. You come in and you pull a stick of dynamite out of your pocket, you light it in the field and you throw it and it goes, boom! And you go, there it is. I broke it up. There it is, you know? And we have to go in and make little straight rows out of that. You know, but there's sometimes when God will give you a sound, when God will give you the song of the nation, when God will give you the new thing. And if you will just go in and sing that song, if you will just go in and open the atmospheres, the power of God will begin to pour out, and it will neutralize the powers of darkness. It will break open and destroy the plans of the enemy. Sometimes violent worship will do what nothing else will do to open a nation. I have some friends in Hollywood, and they have a house of prayer right on Sunset Boulevard, and they've been there for a number of years now. And I mean, they're just crazy. They'll take their guitars and they'll go in front of the Kodak Theater, and they'll just start dancing around. You know, they'll go to UCLA or USC, and they'll go in the middle of the squares and they'll just have a dance party. You know, and what is happening is out of this, movements are being built. There's one movement called Movement 133, and they'll go, you know, they'll go to, well, you may not know these campuses, Pepperdine University, my alma mater in LA, or they'll go to USC, and they drive to all the other campuses, and they just worship all night. And it's being disruptive. Disruptive to atheism. Disruptive to agnosticism. Disruptive to all of these things that say God is not alive. Something is happening. And listen, I prophesy to you, God is going to give you a certain sound for every nation. That when you go to a nation and the worship goes out, God is going to release a new song. Let the new song, the new sound pierce the heavens that will change everything. You're going to sing the song of the nations. And the Holy Spirit is going to move through that. Reminds me of a story I was studying about a missionary, E.P. Scott. God had called him to India. And he had heard of a certain unreached mountain tribe, wild mountain tribe. And he felt that God had called him to go there. His friends begged him not to go, but he knew God had called him. And he went, and he was wondering how he would find the people, and he felt trepidation. But as he went up there, he didn't have to worry about finding them. They found him with big spears. And so he knew that at that moment, it was a life or death moment for him. And all of a sudden, he mazed these native people when he reached down in a little black box and pulled out a violin. And he put it to his shoulder, And he began to play the coronation hymn, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." And when he got to the verse, "Ministering and worshiping, let every kindred, tribe, and tongue on this terrestrial ball," they threw down their weapons and they invited him home with them. And he stayed 2 years and preached the gospel to them. That is the song of the nation. God is doing something unique and new. When God has called you to be a pioneer, when you come here to Planet Shakers, and just let me prophesy this, because sometimes you don't understand. You are not normal. And I mean that in the best way. I mean, God has called you and will put something inside you, whether you're going to go on your knees in prayer, whether God is going to use you as a philanthropist or whatever is going to, whatever thing God is calling you to do. God will give you the anointing and the faith you need to do it. How much faith does it take to do something God has called you to do? What you have when he calls you, or he wouldn't ask you to do it. Can we get an amen for them? Being a disruptive pioneer causes you to take risk. In biblical times, the pioneers or the forerunners, some of you may know this, were used by royalty to prepare the road for their coming. They did not have an easy job. They would literally make the road smooth. If it had holes in it, they'd fill it in. They'd build bridges, find the best and smoothest places to forge streams, cut down trees were in the way of the royalty. And today, this is what God is saying for us. You know, we look forward for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We always want to keep that foremost in our thinking. And then when he comes, we want him to say, "Well done. Well done. The nations that I asked for," in Psalms 2:8, "ask me for the nations." The word that was prophesied in Psalm 2:7 and 8, what is the declaration of what is said? That is our job description. He wants nations. He wants nations for his inheritance. We are moving, I wrote this, into the greatest forerunning season, I believe, before the coming of Christ. The church is awakening to the fact that we were called in the Great Commission to make disciples of nations, and that we have not done a very good job. But in order to fulfill the Great Commission, we have to have a marriage of two passages, the Great Commission in Mark and the Great Commission in Matthew. Many times as Pentecostals, we do the signs and the wonders and the power gifts, which is great. We're commanded to do this. The last thing Jesus said in his Great Commission was move in the power gifts, which is the advertisement that he is real. But once we do that, then we need to move to Matthew 28. And then I want to show you something very interesting. You probably might have seen this. But in verse 17, it says, "When they saw him, they worshiped." But some doubt it. The point is, why would God have a phraseology of worship first? Because it set a precedent. When we set a precedent, when God brings a new sound into a nation, it will cause people to worship God. Many people in the nations are pre-Christian. They're just waiting for a song. They're waiting for a sound, and it will awaken inside them something that God has been stirring and doing, and they're just waiting for us to come do that. And when we do that, God is now opening his supernatural door to the whole nation. But many times when we have gone in with evangelistic meetings, what has happened is hearts are open, but the seed may fall on the ground, because we don't know how to take them to the Matthew 28 step. And it says, "All authority has been given to me. Go and make disciples of nations." I remember reading this verse 20 years ago, and I fell on my face, and I said, Lord, could it really mean whole nations? How do we do that? Did you know that as a biblical believer, that is your mandate too? Go and make disciples of nations. And then it goes on and says, teach them. Who are the them? The nations. What? Everything I have commanded you. Wow. I remember saying to God, how would you ever do that? Well, I want to say something to you that the Holy Spirit has shown me. As a forerunner, all you have to do is take one step down the road, and the Lord will show you how to take the next step, and the next step, and the next step. The way of a pioneer is that you don't know how to go. I remember there's a guy in our history named Daniel Boone. I don't know if you've heard of Daniel Boone here, but he went into the wilderness and he cut a 200-mile road so people could pioneer into new parts of what was Kentucky and things then. And so, you know, he might be gone a year or two from his family. He had two of his children killed. I mean, it was just horrible. But yet, if he had not been willing to pay the price, 300,000 settlers would not have come behind him. I am here to say to Planet Shakers, you are that pioneer people. You are pioneers. You are forerunners. God has given you a mandate to make disciples of nations, and he wouldn't have asked you to do it. Neil, he wouldn't have asked you to do it if he wouldn't show you how to do it. He knows how to disciple a nation. I want you to turn to someone to say, I'm going to ask God how to disciple a nation. New wineskins will be given to us. New ways of thinking for the eradication of poverty. As I was studying the Bible, the Lord showed me very clearly that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they were not a people. They didn't have law. They didn't have government. They didn't have justice. But in the book of Deuteronomy and on, God began to show them how to have representative government. God began to show them many things. And Deuteronomy 15 says, commanded them to do things certain ways. And it says, so except when there may be no more poor among you. You understand what God was saying is there could be a point we reach where we've eradicated poverty. Now, this was spoken to people that had been in slavery for 400 years. Obviously, they had no idea how to be a people. But in Exodus 19, I think, my brain just slipped on this one. May 6, I think. Don't hold me to that. Okay. The Lord said to them, I think it's 19, 15, and 16. The Lord said to them, you are a treasure in all the earth. A prophet is prophesying this, that they were a chosen people. Royal priesthood, a chosen people, a treasure in all the earth. And who was being spoken to? The worst kind of poverty. You see, poverty exists in here before it exists in the natural. So why haven't we eradicated poverty, at least in one place? In one church, why not? I remember challenging my pastors to this, and I was grumbling. I was saying, look, the Bible says we can eradicate poverty. How come, you know, we have poor people in our church? And how come, you know, we have all these problems and we don't even try? I mean, I'm just rah, 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 you know, and sometimes I don't know whether they do this just to get me off their back or whatever, you know. But they looked at me and they go, we'll do that. I go, you will? I was so excited. And God began to show us a plan as a church on how to eradicate poverty of our own people. We started eradicate poverty classes. We began to teach people how to get out of debt. Our church was transformed so much that we had paid off so much of our debt that we began to build new parts of our church that we could just take up large offerings because we had liquidity and we could do many things to help the poor. Come on, God has solutions when the pioneers will go after the solutions, and God knows how to heal the soul of nations, the economy of nations, and he doesn't want to hide it from us. Amen. Come on and say amen. Psalm 89:14 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. We have to marry these concepts. That means not only do we need to teach purity and holiness, but we need to be just people. We need to establish justice. We need to stop human trafficking. We need to stop abortion. We need to be for biblical marriage. We need to see that the ways of God are put into our nations. And this is what the foundation of nations. We've got to bring these together. Some people, you know, they're just for righteousness, righteousness, and righteousness, but they couldn't care if people don't have something to eat, or they don't really think about, is a child going to bed hungry tonight? But in this time, I prophesy to you, planet shakers, hear the word of the Lord, that God is going to bring these things together, righteousness and justice, mercy and truth. They're going to marry one another, and God will show you how to do it. Amen and amen. Jesus was hated by the religious, loved by sinners, mystified the governments of the day from his position of agony and pain. There is a price. I'm not saying it will be easy, but you know what I know about this generation? You don't like the easy things. You're willing to do the hard things. You know, sometimes people look at the millennials and so forth and they say, oh, they're just lazy. I say they're unchallenged. Say the church has not provided what we need to provide for them. We haven't given the focus of what they could do. But I believe there is a generation that when we give them the call to be a pioneer, when we say to them, there is greatness in you, something is going to begin to explode inside their soul, inside their thinking. And they will say, here am I, Lord, send me. I will be a nation changer. I will disciple nations. I'm going to stop that human trafficking. There will not be any child sold for sex slavery here in my nation or the nations of the earth. I am saying to you, righteousness and justice must marry in this generation. There is a price. Jesus paid a price. The price he paid was priceless. It was disrupted. The cross was disrupted. It disrupted sin and death and injustice. It pierced the sky and broke injustice and evil's rule over mankind. Jesus' last will and testament was to go heal the sick, lay hands on them, but disciple nations also. I wrote this, I have a dream to see my nations and the nations of the world bow before his feet at the great judgment day of the nations. Revelation 21:24, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shed day or night. There shall be no night there, and shade shall bring, it says again, the glory and honor of the nations. What is the glory and honor of the nations? And can a nation be saved? I say yes. But salvation is so much bigger and so much broader than what we have understood. Can God cause righteousness and justice to be the throne of a nation? Listen to me, Australia. God wants you to be a forerunner nation to make this happen. God wants you to be an example of what can happen. But you have to choose. God has brought people from the ends of the earth, red, yellow, brown, black, and white. He has made an ethnic mix here that is like what is before his throne. And there is a reason why he did that. Because there's something in you now. If you will work together and if you will stand together, there's something God has given you that you can reach to the ends of the earth. There's something in your DNA. There's something why God brought so many immigrants together in so many places. You are called to heal the nations. And certainly, when the great judgment of nations comes, you will be able to say, we stand before you as Australians, a saved nation. We present the honor and the glory of our nation before you, King Jesus. We present the wealth of our nations. We are bringing tribute to you. We are bringing the human tribute of saved souls. But we own the petroleum industries. We own the gold industries. We own the wealth of the nation. And we can see the kings of the earth stand before Jesus, bringing together the governmental structures. We saw the government follow Jesus Christ. We saw the educational system teach the word of God. Why not? If not now, when?
Hey, it's been so great that you've been able to join us today. I hope that your faith is filled. If you have any prayer requests or you want to connect with us any further at Planet Shakers, why don't you be a part?